The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan has said he is not for turning on reforms to the criminal legal aid system. This is despite pressure from solicitors as services continue to be withdrawn from the district court. And to discuss this further, I'm joined by solicitor from Maguire McNeice Solicitors in Bray, Mark McNeice. Good evening to you, Mark. Your view on...
Good evening, Ciara. Sorry, Mark Maguire, just to clear that up. I'm happy to clear up any other confusion that may occur throughout...
My sincere apologies. That's our bad this end. But can I ask you, first of all, your view? Because what we're hearing is happening is previously when solicitors attended court, there was a payment per, I suppose, appearance in court by them on behalf of their clients. Now this is being changed, if the minister has his way, to a flat fee. What's your view on this?
The first view I have is I've never known in Ireland when it's been cool to quote Margaret Thatcher, but I'll move on from that. And I'll also apologise, my media training isn't necessarily great. I was a Rosa Tralee escort, but I failed the Epi ones enough times that if I can't explain this to you in plain English, I don't think anyone can. So the position at the moment, as far as my colleagues are concerned, is that basically there's four possible positions in relation to Jim O'Callaghan. He's either not read his brief, he's read it, but he doesn't understand it. He's been fed misinformation by his department, or he's being disingenuous, and there can't be any other way than that. And as far as my colleagues are concerned, this is an attack on the administration of justice. You mentioned about adjournments and all these other aspects. Again, going back to my FE1 days and talking about, just to lecture your listeners a little bit, it's a part of a democracy is what's known as a separation of powers, essentially. And quoting from citizensinformation.ie, and my colleagues will give out to me now for revealing trade secrets, there are three, the power to run the state is divided into three branches: the Oireachtas, who make the law, the executive, who enforce it and run the Department of State, and that's Jim O'Callaghan's box, and then there's the judiciary, who have the power to interpret the law. And the Constitution tries to keep those powers separate to guarantee that there's not too much power in the hands of one institution of the
sure.
state.
And they're not supposed to encroach on each other's powers either, yeah, because of that
exactly.
being considered a threat. So, but does that really, and I do understand the separation of powers, but does that really mean that we can never look at the, you know, the fees we pay to judges
that,
or the fees we pay to solicitors?
Well, what Minister O'Callaghan has said in relation to adjournments is that, you know, when he was quoted at the Oireachtas Committee on Tuesday as saying that, you know, the purpose of the flat fee is to try and reduce the number of adjournments. We need to deal with this case. We need to deal a case promptly when it repeated adjournments. That could be considered a criticism of a judge, and that's a breach of that could be a breach of the separation of powers, you know? So, with Minister O'Callaghan's narrative about that, I feel that he exhibited a clinical lack of understanding of the area. And Aoife O'Leary, who was the chair of the Criminal State Bar Committee, had also picked up on this. And she had said that the Criminal Procedure Act requires people come back every two or three weeks, depending on what it is. And if Minister O'Callaghan is suggesting that the court will strike out very serious matters when Gardaí are coming to court and they've been refused bail because the prosecution aren't in a position to prosecute them, are they just going to be simply released back into the community? I mean, that's not a realistic option at all.
I have to just, and by the way, I don't speak on behalf of the minister by any means, but I have to point out that the minister is a lawyer. So I'm not sure that it would be fair to say that he doesn't understand the system.
The minister did acknowledge that he's never practiced in the area of criminal law because he explicitly acknowledged that crime doesn't pay, which was a joke that went down pretty poorly at the Oireachtas Committee, I must say.
I'm sure, and I'm not going to defend his bad jokes either, but his argument is that the current system of repeated adjournments and maybe lots and lots of adjournments, and this is his words, not mine, that it's vulnerable to abuse. And you would kind of think that what he's saying there is perhaps a swipe at the profession, but irrespective, you would kind of think as a lawyer, he might know whether or not this is vulnerable to abuse.
Yeah, well, this had been asked for at the committee, and Sean Geeran, who is a very respected senior counsel and who your listeners might know as the person who prosecuted Graham Dwyer on behalf of the DPP, he had confirmed that the engagement had not been detailed on certain issues. The minister said that he shared the data with us, and I regret to say that that's just not true. Now, that wasn't contradicted by the minister or the department at all, and still hasn't been, but that is the line that is still being repeated by the government and the minister.
Okay.
So he hasn't provided any data to back this up, and it's been sought by the Law Society and the Bar Council for a long time now, and there's been no engagement whatsoever, contrary to what the minister has said.
It would appear from what we're hearing in the media that, Mark, some cases are adjourned multiple times, more than dozens of times, and that people are attending over and over and over again. And this is doing two things. One is it's, I suppose, blocking up the court system with semi-spurious sort of brief appearances that nothing are achieved by, and indeed racking up huge legal fees for the state. Is it not fair to say that bringing in a flat fee would concentrate the minds on making everyone a little bit more efficient, maybe less adjournments, maybe less appearances, and maybe lower fees? And that could be a good thing in terms of making the wheels of our legal system go a little bit quicker, a little bit more cheaply.
Well, the profession is not against reform, and the Law Society has actually attempted to engage with the minister, but we've been ghosted to date, to be honest. So when all these talks about adjournments, and I'm bringing you back to the point I said earlier, that it's the judge who decides the adjournments. It's not the solicitor and it's not the prosecution. So to criticise the fact that adjournments are happening could be seen to be an attack on a judicial power. And I'm going to bring you back to my citizens' information website on the separation of powers. Now, you know, I did speak to, you know, I can think of one example, unfortunately, that we've had to deal with in our office that would explain why judges are very aware to the need for adjournments. And I'm going to be careful here because the client that we acted for, it was in camera because essentially it was a very sensitive matter and the person was incredibly vulnerable. But there was an article that the Examiner had released about him, and also he was featured on the recent primetime episode in relation to the failings of the HSE. Okay. So while I'm not going to name his name, I'm going to give him a name because I think it's very important to humanize him, and I'm going to call him Jim. So Jim was a man who was placed in prison on remand primarily due to a lack of alternatives, someone who would often, in distress, a man who has repeatedly rubbed his head so furiously he created a bald patch, and during one court appearance was so disorientated by what was going on that he walked over to his family and simply handed him his shoes, asking that they take him home. Jim, his sister says, is a sensitive and kind man with various passions and lifelong difficulties, but he has an intellectual disability and a pronounced mental health problems. And then when some of those mental health supports were withdrawn, according to the HSE, they decided that the intellectual disability was the overriding concern. But either way, he fell between the stools and his supports were withdrawn. He was remanded in custody following a mental health episode, and the HSE had no place for him. The court, that being us acting for him, the guard presenter for the prosecution and the judge all recognised that Jim was an incredibly vulnerable person.
Sure.
Now, I have data here myself, and the minister is very fond of talking about data, but I have data to confirm that under one charge between February 2024 and July 2025, Jim was before the court 37 times. And essentially what was happening there was that the judge was bringing it back in and demanding an update from the HSE because they had to find a bed for him. You know, he couldn't be, prison wasn't an appropriate place for this man. He needed care, but the HSE weren't providing that. They'd already failed him in one aspect and they were failing him again. Eventually, now he's been released. But if he was to come to me now under the same scheme, I can't say that we'd help. You know, it'd be a failure by me in my duty of care to my staff, whose wages I have to pay. I'd be breaching my lease on my landlord, whose rent I have to pay. It'd be breaching my professional obligation to my other clients who are paying fees and whose email I haven't had a chance to respond to this week, to put myself into such a time-consuming scenario to the detriment of all my other responsibilities. Yeah, we appeared for him for
37 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I get that. And I do, and obviously we don't want to personalise it to Jim, and I know nothing about it, and I take you at your word about all his vulnerabilities.
His real name is not Jim, don't you worry.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have doubted that from you for a moment. But here's the thing. Is that the right way to run a system, appearing 37
the
times?
The state has an obligation to look after vulnerable people.
But
you know,
is this not potentially, Mark, a catalyst for reform? Because I'm a rough back of the envelope thing, if it was there 37 times, and I know what you were paid previously for appearances under free legal aid, that would have been about $2,500 to you in fees. And I'm not saying for a moment you don't deserve $2,500 in fees, but is there not a better way?
Well,
two visits,
over,
three...
That was over a year and a half. So
sure,
you
no,
look,
no,
you know,
my
you
point
the,
isn't
the other sectors that might be paid us certainly a lot more.
No, no, no.
You know?
As I said, $2,500 for you appearing 37 times. I'm not saying you're being overpaid, but it strikes me from the outside listening to that there must be a better way than having a vulnerable man dragged before the courts 37 times. And maybe the judges need to wake up to the fact that these adjournments are not the best way to proceed, and maybe everyone needs to look to their own houses.
And I'll stop you there, sorry. The other option was to basically let this man languish in prison and wait for the HSE to sort themselves out. But the judge recognised that this needed, the pressure needed to be put onto the HSE. And we have a very empathetic judge in Bradester Court, who I have a lot of respect for. And essentially what the minister is doing here is that this is an attack on empathy. This is an attack on the administration of justice. What the minister wants is, again, he just wants someone to say, look, you know, that's too much effort for me, and sorry, I can't take that on, you know. And that's, if one person is left behind in these reforms, well, then the reforms are failing.
Yeah, I mean, there have been many reviews that have suggested professionals in this country are grossly overpaid as compared to professionals in other European countries. Our legal fees are high, our courts move slowly. A lot of people would think that a bit of a, I suppose, shot across the bow from the minister isn't the worst thing. And I know you're framing it as an attack on empathy, but I think he's actually just an attack on costs and maybe an attempt to make people say, do we really need to attend court 30, 40, 50, 60 times? Maybe we don't. Maybe there's a better way of doing this.
It's a better way for the state to pull its weight in other areas that it has obligations.
All right. Anyway, within the
legal, is a court of last resort.
Within the legal profession, clearly there appears to be quite the pushback. Do you see any further action being taken by solicitors?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think the argument's been quite strong here, and people aren't backing down in relation to this. You know, I know I've been hounding my local councillors, and again, I mentioned the phrase ghosting. That sadly is still the case with certain people who are just not engaging with me. But there has been resignations. You know, I know of colleagues who've resigned and they've received confirmation back from the Legal Aid Board. One person tendered the resignation and was told that the Legal Aid Board had no record of her being on the panel since 2023. And if that's true, well, then why have they been paying her? So there are inefficiencies, that are in plain sight. Okay. And they are visible.
The minister would say that he's received out of the 800 solicitors on the board of the Free Legal Aid, that four, he's been notified of four people pulling out.
Well, I think I'll go back to something that my Dr. Shane McCarthy, a committee member from the Law Society, had said. And when he was looking to engage with the minister and had sent a lot of substantive replies and concerns, the only reply that he got from the minister after 4 or 5 weeks during that period was an out of office. So equally, I understand that my colleagues are now taken to CCing the minister when tendering their resignations. So you have to ask him. But my concern is that you might also just get an out of office.
We will. I don't think we will get an out of office, but my feeling is that we will be asking the minister. Thank you very much for joining us. That is Mark Maguire of Maguire McNeice Solicitors in Bray. Let us know what you think about all of that.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.